Welcome in. It is Wisconsin Sports Daily, as you just heard. Served up by Wendy. Sparky here. Charlie Usen, other side of the glass. Speaking of Wendy's, baby. Youth, sports, and free frosties. Huh? It's that time of year, right? I got playoff baseball tonight after the show. I got to go watch my kids' playoff baseball game going on. Win or lose, take your kid after their youth sporting event. Could be basketball, baseball, soccer. Do they have pickleball teams? They don't have pickleball youth teams yet, do they? That's coming. It's coming if they don't. We were watching pickleball championships. They have teams, pro pickleball teams, representing different cities. We're watching it over the weekend on TV. I could not believe it. Anyways, did you know that any youth sports player can score a free small Frosty anytime they visit Wendy's in their sports uniform? That's right. Just stop by after practice or with your team after a game. Who doesn't love a Frosty? I was just notified where my kid is playing baseball. That is currently 95 degrees where we're going tonight.
Too hot.
You ain't kidding. Too hot. By the time that thing gets done, I'm going to order like 6 Frosties in the drive-thru. 1 for him and 5 for me. The rest can fend for themselves. That's goodness.
Nice of you.
So, yeah. Damn right. I'm all about the Frosties. Joining us now on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law, he is friend of the show, Patrick Ebert, college baseball journalist for D1 Baseball. Follow him on Twitter at PatrickEbert44. Look at his pretty face on YouTube, baby, at the Fan Milwaukee. Use that at symbol. Patrick, thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate it. How are you doing?
Yeah, doing great. How you been? It's been a while.
It has been a while. I mean, things happen with our radio station, right? We go away, we come back. So, and thankfully, you're still right there knowing everything there is to know about the MLB draft and everything going along with it. So, first off, let's talk about D1 Baseball and what that's all about in case people don't know about that website.
Yeah, D1 Baseball. I mean, we cover Division I baseball. That's what we do. We have an exhaustive staff that covers from coast to coast. Kendall Rogers, Aaron Fitt were the original ones brought on board. We've added so many people since, myself included. My primary focus is the Midwest and the mid-major level, but, you know, I'm not restricted to that. From every level of Division I baseball, we got you covered. If you know Kyle Peterson back from his Brewer days, he's the owner of D1 Baseball. He's been hosting the draft, so we have a very strong contingent of people that are very well versed with college baseball at all levels.
Oh, that's good. I did not know Kyle Peterson owned you guys. Okay. That's very cool. He was on ESPN for a minute, wasn't he? Doing college baseball analysis for a long time.
Well, yeah, even if you watch the draft, he does the draft on ESPN as well. So yeah, he's still very much involved with ESPN.
Yeah, it's really good stuff. And we were talking about it earlier about how probably not as many people, well, I know for sure, not as many people watch the MLB draft as they do the NBA or the NFL draft. Not having players at the draft really hurts, I think, viewing and the experience in general, Patrick Ebert.
You know, I was completely unaware of that until I tuned in last night. You know, in fact, I missed all these. I didn't know it went down to 2 days. You know, they did the first 3 rounds, and then they're doing rounds 4 through 20 today. No players in attendance. So yeah, that was unique. I don't really understand why they did that. I didn't really look it up, to be honest. I wasn't that curious, but I agree with you. Having the players there, it gives them that excitement. It gives the people and the fans and the people, you know, that are watching from their TVs a little added interest too, to be able to have those players on set.
I had read that agencies were apparently telling their players not to go. That's apparently how this all played out, which is crazy because the agents in the NFL and NBA don't do that crap. But yet in baseball with high school and college kids, they're telling them not to do it. Let's talk about the Brewers draft.
Leverage.
Yep. Let's talk about the Brewers draft here. We played a little bit back of Andrew Fisher, first baseman, who the Brewers are going to play at third base out of Tennessee. And the emotional Andrew Fisher, I guess you could say, when the pick happened last night and it popped up, first baseman Andrew Fisher, I was like, dude, they just drafted Burke from Tennessee, was a first baseman last year. What are we doing? And then when the Brewers put it up on their Twitter account, they labeled him as a third baseman at that point, but he's pretty much a power guy like Burke, right?
Yeah, he is. Different hitters. I mean, Burke's pick surprised me a year ago because he's a first baseman. That's all he can do, right?
Yep.
Like Fisher, you may be able to put him in left field. We'll see how long third base lasts. I'm not overly confident that's going to be a long time thing, but it certainly fits the Brewers' MO to have a guy that can play different positions. I love the pick. They needed to get offensive player in their system. It's something that they haven't been developing overly well. I mean, they've been They've been doing pitching amazingly, obviously. Like, we've seen how many pitchers they've done. They needed to get the best bat that they could. I got to see him play at the Fayetteville Super Regional down in Arkansas. He was playing for Tennessee. And leading up to that, I reached out to a coworker who had seen him the week before in the regional round. And he just said, like, the best trait about him is the guy just takes absolute daddy hacks, meaning he's going up there with supreme confidence that he is going to impact the ball. And it's not like he's just swinging, like, aimlessly.
It's not like Carlos Gomez, right? He's not, like, falling down like Carlos Gomez. Please tell me that's not what the deal is.
No. He makes impressive contact. His whiff rate isn't ridiculous. He's making good high contact. And when he does, the ball's traveling a long ways. I love that picture with the Brewers and just what they need. You got to be patient with it with all other picks. But I don't really think Burke's presence and Fisher's presence necessarily has to do with one another. You always got to take best player available.
And I don't have a problem taking Tennessee guys. I mean, they win. You can say whatever you want about Vitello. I don't know what your thoughts on him is. But in the little presser that they did on Zoom earlier today, Fisher talked about he was asked about the idea of Vitello coming to him and say, hey, look, man, you got to be the emotional leader on this team. You got to go do your thing. And Fisher was like, hey, man, he told me if I get kicked out of the game, he'll be following me to the showers right after that because he'll get kicked out too if that's what it takes to get this team going. I mean, you just don't hear a lot of guys talking about their managers like pumping them up to go, you know, find that line in the sand and see how far they can get up to that line without getting booted out of the game to get their teammates going.
You know, I love Vitello as a coach. I think he has some incredibly insightful things to share. I think he knows his players extremely well, and he knows what to say to fire them up. And he certainly fired up Fisher from beginning to end. And if you listen to Vitello talk beginning to end this past season, he always talked about going to battle with certain players and that Fisher was like one of those guys that he would go to battle with time after time. You put him out there in that situation, he's not going to back down. He's fearless. He's a bulldog. He's got all those different, you know, catchphrases that go with him. He's just an incredible hitter, incredible emotional player, like you said.
Tom Patrick Ebert, college baseball journalist, D1 Baseball. Follow him on Twitter at PatrickEbert44. PatrickEbert44. Let's go to their next pick at 32. Brady Abel, shortstop, Corona High School, which apparently had like three dudes drafted out of it yesterday on day one. So a very talented high school team over there. Brady Abel's dad is the third base coach, I believe, for the Los Angeles Dodgers. So there's some bloodlines there. His dad played in the minors. I don't think he ever reached the majors. I saw a clip of him, and I don't remember what the name of the game was. You'd probably remember. But they had some type of, like, I don't know if it was perfect game or what it was, all-star type game at American Family Field here in the last year or two. And he was one of the guys playing in it. And I saw a clip last night on Twitter. He makes this play behind third base with a foot in foul territory, throws an absolute BB rocket to first base to get this dude out. I was like, oh my goodness. Like that, it was an impressive throw for anybody, pro or high school kid. So I was very impressed by what I saw there with Brady Abel. What's your take on him?
Yeah, I was there for that game. That was the prep baseball report.
There you go.
American Classic, when he would have been between his sophomore and junior years. But yeah, I mean, the pick, you know, you're talking about the Brewers, and you can certainly make parallels to other selections they've made in the past. And his profile would be similar to that of Eric Batante, you know, left-handed swinging physical guy with high contact rates, big exit velos, all that stuff. They drafted him as a shortstop. You know, physically it looks like he'll probably fit in better at third base down the road. But it's just another one of those high character, high athleticism picks that really knows how to swing the bat. And the fact that he does so left-handed just adds to his overall value.
Batante's got a bunch of power. This kid's got a bunch of power?
Yeah, I don't know if it's quite that amount of power, but I do know that all of his exit velo rates and all that stuff, all those measurements skew extremely well for him.
He's a high school kid, which means he can still fill out. Okay, now this next one here, J.D. Thompson out of Vanderbilt. Watching it on MLB Network last night, Vitello, he couldn't have been much more exuding praise towards this guy, if anything. He pretty much said on TV that he thought he should have gone much before where the Brewers ended up getting him, that he really liked him. But if you look at his ERAs, ERAs are like round four or something like that. What did you take away from J.D. Thompson?
Yeah, J.D. Thompson's is another player I got to see late in the season. I was down at the Nashville Regional covering Vanderbilt, and Thompson was their ace, a left-handed pitcher. You know, he was consistently 92, 94, and a touch 95. good slider, good curveball. The changeup is a real difference maker to help neutralize, you know, right-handed hitters. And just had all the results to back it up, right? Like, it wasn't the most exciting profile, but he certainly just kept getting the job done time after time after time. And he's the guy, you know, that you're going to stick in the lower levels of the minor leagues, and, like, he's going to spend no time carving up Carolina. You know, they may put him straight to Wisconsin for all I know. But that's just the type of guy that he is with that four-pitch mix, how well he commands the strike zone. He could move fast. You know, he's not going to be, like, that high-level guy if you're still looking for aces and number two starters and that. He's one of more like a mid-range starting pitcher, but as we've seen with the Brewers, that gives you a lot of value.
All right, let's go to the next pick, 68, Frank Chiron. I think that's how you say it. Left-handed pitcher out of Delcia Regional High School in New Jersey. And again, this is something, too, they've been talking about this with the Brewers, where they've been taking these kids out of these cold-weather states where maybe they're not getting as much notice, and that's where the Brewers have been stealing a lot of these kids from.
Yeah, we saw it with Josh Knopf. We saw it with Bryce Message. And Chris Lebonis before he did not sign and ended up going to Wake Forest. But yeah, these low mileage arms, and actually they took another one, a guy from Minnesota, Hayden Vucinovic, and they like these guys, right? Yeah, Bishop Letson is another one of these guys from Indiana who's already in the Brewers system, but they really like these guys that are late bloomers, right? And a lot of these northern kids are. They don't have the same exposure opportunities that kids down south do, and these academies that we've seen booming up in the Wisconsin area, and I know you're well aware of them, Sparky.
We were just talking about price points for my 9-year-old going into 10U, and then the number what it's going to cost to go into 11 and 12U. Yeah, it can be a shocking number, I guess, as you go along the journey here.
Yeah, and that's the cost for getting that time on the mound indoors in the winter months and all the other things it brings for you. But yeah, Frank Chiron went down to the MLB Combine and really performed well. He was pitching in the low to mid-90s this spring, has a really good curveball, has a good frame, all that stuff. We just haven't seen it to the same level as consistently as some of the top guys that go in the first and second rounds of the draft. You know, he's got a little more to prove, but the Brewers are willing to take a gamble on that upside.
So we all know about Jacob Mizorowski and doing his thing. I want to get your thoughts on Mizorowski, but before we do that, I want to talk about the last pick of day one. I'm not going to go through all the day two picks, but Jacob Morrison, like 6'8", like damn near 250. I mean, this dude's as big as Mizorowski, but has filled out somewhat. Arms, legs flailing all over the place. He's not throwing 102, however. But tell us about Jacob Morrison, this kid out of Coastal Carolina.
Yeah, and just before anybody gets too excited, he's not Mizorowski.
No.
Like, he's a completely different pitcher. He's a big body guy. Like, he's just a big, strong guy. If you remember Andy Bennis, it's going to be more like that. He's just bringing, you know, low to mid 90s heat with some heavy action to it, a good three pitch mix, really competes. He missed last year. He had Tommy John surgery, but he was really good in his true freshman season 2 years ago. Obviously, the ace of the Coastal Carolina staff that made it to the College World Series finals. And so, again, you know, similar to JD Thompson, you put a pitcher that's proven experience that knows how to win and has good stuff and size to go with it.
I want to get your thoughts on one other kid. I lied. I wanted to ask you about a kid that they took today. Where is it? It's the guy, that pitcher from Princeton. I don't know if you saw who it was.
Episcopi?
Yes. Yeah. Talk about him, because that was a kid that, from what I was reading, was like the guy in the Ivy League and was really, really good. But then has an elbow injury or two, possibly, that kind of probably knocked him down. That maybe if he doesn't have the elbow injuries, maybe he goes much higher than where he ended up going, and the Brewers probably just take a flyer that they can get him healthy.
Yeah, no doubt. His pick reminds me a lot. I think it was Jason Woodward 2 years ago.
Yeah.
They drafted him the top five rounds at a Florida college, like Florida Gulf Coast or something like that. Similar situation, right? Like you just said, if he would have been healthy, he probably goes in this range, and everybody knows who Sean Episcopi is. But as of right now, you know, his name was announced and a lot of people are scratching their heads. But yeah, you know, he's not overly tall, but he's well built. He's strong. He maintains low to mid 90s stuff. He's got 3-4 pitches that he throws for strikes. But the key right now is obviously getting him healthy and keeping him on the mound, which, again, you know, similar to what I just shared about with Jacob Morrison, the Brewers clearly are willing to take the the chance on that investment.
Patrick Ebert, college baseball journalist, D1 Baseball. Follow him on Twitter at PatrickEbert44. Last one. You know all about Mizorowski, obviously, what he is, coming from a JUCO school and then making his way into the Brewers farm system and now dominating at this level. What did you think of Mizorowski when he was coming out of college? I know a lot of people thought that dude was simply going to be a reliever, maybe a closer, but there weren't a lot of people that thought he could be a starter.
Yeah, Mizorowski best defines the expression a baby giraffe better than any other player that you can think of. I mean, at that time, he was 6'7", probably a 180, right? Like, even now, he still looks like a baby giraffe, where you mentioned it before, how, like, arms and legs are just coming at you, and it's kind of gangly, and sometimes it looks a little awkward, but obviously, he's filled out, and pieces have obviously come together even better than anyone
Patrick,
really expected.
He has a 7.5-foot reach when he's coming down at you. Like, that is insane.
It's ridiculous. And it's coming, too, from kind of the strange angle, too, you know, where he's coming, like, behind his ear and bringing it across. And, it's tough. But coming out, you know, like, you don't know what the end result is going to be. But obviously, when the Brewers spent a second-round pick on this guy and gave him good money, you know, and that followed up Ashby, you know, the year before, a left-hander who's been pitching well, you know that they like these JUCO guys that check all the boxes. He has good size, good athleticism. His fastball, I don't think most people realize, he was already throwing upper 90s at that point in time. And you know, him throwing triple digits wasn't an if, it was a when type of statement. But the slider had incredible movement, and he spun it really well. And all the pieces just were there for him to be the stud that he is right now. And I mean, for me, who spends most of my time covering college baseball and not as much time watching big league baseball anymore, I made it a point to go see this guy pitch twice. I went to the Skeens game and I went to his debut, because I was not going to miss that.
No, absolutely not. And again, all these people complaining about, he shouldn't be in the All-Star game and so forth. I said it earlier, Patrick. He is the best thing to happen in this sport since Shohei Ohtani. The best thing. Because people will turn on the All-Star game in the Dakotas, in Iowa, in Idaho, all over the place to watch him. If it would have been Suarez with the Phillies or somebody else, they would not have cared.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. I mean, we saw it last year with Paul Skeens. I mean, we thought 11 games wasn't very much.
Right.
And now Mizorowski, 5 games, made it in. That's incredible. That's just plain nuts.
No doubt. Patrick Ebert, college baseball journalist, D1 Baseball. Follow him on Twitter at PatrickEbert44. Thank you so much for coming on, man. I appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Sparky. Take care.